we sold those brooms. We had the bigger brooms that we sold at the street fair.
Okay.
And then, but we had all these left. I must say, before I give away, you know, 15 of them. And just like she was saying, you know, with two little kids was in there. So both little kids wanted one. Yeah. I have a buddy up the road that he has three little girls. And he saw those brooms. He said, man, how much was it? No, you know, no charge on those brooms, man, you know. And he said, well, kid, you can't just take one, you know. You got three girls, right, so you had to take three brooms. Another guy came, and he had two little kids, you know. They had two brooms. So each kid went their own broom, yeah. I guess, you know. So
Yeah, they
I'm amazed. She comes. She was the Latter-day Saints.
Oh, okay.
And she comes every month and – you know, you give them like $3 or $4 or $5, you know, and they bring you that Watchtower book. And so I kind of do that, you know. Mm-hmm. So what was that question?
Oh, yeah, I was asking about growing up in Osage.
Yeah, it was a good kind of time, you know, in that Osage was kind of independent from almost any place else, you see, because, you know, there was no kind of segregation type thing. Wouldn't even know how to be segregated anyway, you know, because everybody was with everybody. And so you didn't only had problems when, like, somebody would come in town, you know. One place, Osage was not the place where you're going to come and straighten anybody out, you know. When you come to Osage, no, you're going to get straightened out, you know. And when you leave here, you're going to say, well, I don't think we're going to go back down there and miss nobody in Osage. And it got a stigma, you know, like, you know, don't go to Osage. I was telling, there was some people there yesterday at the museum. They bought a busload, like a van load of, I think students from Fairmont State or something. And Eve was, it was more about museums. Uh-huh. And we were talking about, you know, kind of like growing up here, you know, as well. And when it came up about, you know, different nationalities and things like that, you know, we kind of stuck together. But no, I was going to tell them also, you know, for a long time, even at the university over there, since so many people that, you know, when people call me from Morgantown about getting their shoes fixed, because they someone told me about you, you know, and but where's your shop? Where's Osage? I said, well, where did you grow up? I said, in Morgantown. Girl, I'm going to have to give you some demerits, you know. You grew up in Morgantown, and you don't know where Osage is at, you know. So you know, that's the kind of thing also, you know, where there's so many people that don't know even where Osage is at, and your family grew up over there. And for the longest of time, people would say, had the Blue Bridge then, you know. Don't cross the Blue Bridge. You know, which means, you know, you're going to be in trouble if you cross that Blue Bridge. You stay on this side of the Blue Bridge, mm-hmm. because Osage is so bad. And even today, you know, people still think that Osage is this bad place. And when I go and speak to people, you know, I was booked at university over there, I don't know how many times, you know, and first thing I would ask any of them, I said, how many of y'all have ever been to Osage? Not very many hands would go up. But a lot of them don't live in, a lot of them live in all different right. states, you know. So I wouldn't say too much about that. How many ever been to Osage? And as a matter of fact, with a lady here that bought her shoes in, and I didn't know her name, and she was a professor or something, but Dattisman was her name. And I didn't recognize until I got her last name. And I said, oh, she used to have me come over and speak. I mean, I've spoke, I don't know how many times, for all different understandings over there. Mm-hmm. But And then I'd let them know, you know. I said, well, guys, if it wasn't for Osage and Scott's Run, you know, you wouldn't be sitting in these nice seats you just sat over here at the university, you see. Because if it wasn't for there, you would not have. I said, well, we had about 6,000 students here. You probably wouldn't have many more than that if it wasn't for the coal mine that came out of here to help build that university that you have here. And I always relate that to them to let them understand, you see, that if it wasn't for Osage and Scott's Run, you know, that really paved the way. I just got a thing from years ago to show. Oh, I whispered. This, see, they want to see, everybody wants to annex, you know, about a town of Granville. Uh-huh. See, at one time, a couple years ago, they wanted not only annex, they wanted to annex, and then they're going to, you know, all the buildings and things like that, you see. And I went over, and a few other people also, you know, and I kind of chewed the county commission people out a little bit about, you know, what these folks are trying to do. Well, they didn't pass it at that time. But today, see, Granville, they always bring me down these things, you know, because mm-hmm. first of all, they don't want me to come over there, you know. They said, you know, we know Al coming over there, so we take it down to him and let me know that we're not bothering with Osage. So this is just now, it's just a roadway, which you can't do anything about anyway. But I'm going over there, you know, on Wednesday, you know, just to observe. But they'll see.
Are they trying to annex?
Well, it's road. It's not like, see, like this blue section there.
Okay.
See, come from you know, the mall up there, uh-huh. you know, down, and it'll hit, you know, Ladybug Drive up there by the settlement house, and then you know, and then they got the. That's their fire department area up where that big building is, and so this is the way that. But I'm not going to have anything. I know they'll think that I'm going to say something. I'm not going to say anything that day, mm-hmm. because I got some bigger issues with. I just did a documentary thing about the closing that public service down there, you know. And I was, mm-hmm. you know, chairperson for 15 years. And we did $16 million worth of all the sewer. You see, they never had sewer here forever. You for 100 years. All the sewer came right down in that little creek there, right past everybody's home. Wow. You know, they had septic tanks. You know, after a while, septic tank ain't no septic tank. You know what I mean? You know, after a while they go bad, and then if you don't clean them out on a regular basis, well, you know, everything's going to overflow. It's going to come right in that creek, basically. And so after the 15 years me and Bob Martin was on that board, you know, they take me and Bob Martin off the board, and we still got other projects to do. And about a month after we were off the board, they closed it down. You know, they closed it down, and all the employees down there, they fired on right on the spur of the moment. You know, young lady come up here, and I said, well, what's going on? And she was mad. She said, they told me I had 20 minutes to get my stuff and get out. And it's been about 4 years ago. And we went to court and all. It was the whole big court thing, because they called me up here, and they said, Al, he said, man, they got two police cars sitting side by side, and they're taking all that stuff out of that building. I mean, the newspaper called me and said, we're going to send a reporter up here. And I went down with the reporter. And then from that on, we had meetings and meetings and meetings and meetings. But they ended up, the website got so heavy on them, mm-hmm. that it was supposed to be a requisition, but it turned out to be a merger, because that website was killing them. So about a month ago, I did a documentary over at the other museum in Morgantown, mm-hmm. About 4 months ago now. But this one I did to tell them about themselves and all the dirty work they did. Even wanted to file charges against Bob and Martin and myself. And we were considered, actually, the best public service district in the state of West Virginia. You know, when I would go, I would go to Charleston, you know, now, see, We got $16 million project going. Mm-hmm. Now if I would go every couple of years, you go and get updated on things. Well, say if there's 150 people in there, and I know I probably wouldn't be hard to find, because sometimes there'll be one or two blacks that would be there for public service districts. But everybody would come out of that door, you know, as soon as they see, well, we work with Mr. Anderson. We work with Mr. Anderson. We work with Mr. Anderson. You know, which means, you know, Mr. Anderson got the project and got the money. You see? So everybody, you know, when you take that break, you know, who do you think everybody want to talk to? You know? Because, see, they're there to either get certified or they're there to get some money. Uh-huh. Well, Mr. Anderson already got the money. So everybody wants to know, you know, what the process is for getting that money. You see? So we didn't have a place to meet. we met up at the shack for about 45 minutes till guys came to play ball. And they were paying, like, I think, $25 to play a couple hours of ball up there. So, but the engineers, you know, Thrasher, they were like, they're a big engineering firm. So we hired them, and they worked with us for about a month. Now, there's a 1.5 million dollar grant that comes from the governor that you get to start your project. Mm-hmm. Or that's the beginning of it. You see, you know, to get all your, you know, all your right of ways and all everything you got to do, you know, to pay for that. That's what that's for. So the county commission, you know, they told me, said, Al, he said, the county commission is dragging their feet about getting that grant. So here I go to the county commission. You see, if I sit back there until they're not going to even call me until the end of the meeting, you see, mm-hmm. because nobody's going to figure out what Al's doing here. You see, so finally at the end, they say, oh, Al, did you have anything? You know, I said, yeah. I said, you know. I said, the engineer said you're dragging your feet about getting that grant. So, it was about 50 people in here. It was a lot of people in there that day. And so the big joke of the day was, well, Al, why don't you have the governor bring the money in? You see? Well, 2 weeks later, there was the governor. There was that check. And there's all of the, I'm going to show you the picture of it. I got a picture. I'm going to show you that. That, you see? Now, see, they would have bet their houses that ain't no governor going to bring no check to Osage, West Virginia, to this black dude out there. You know what I mean? You know, not a chance. So, see, and they never was going to do it anyway, see? And that kind of fooled them a little bit because, see, they were going to get that. See, they were just starting to do the Milan Park up there, too. See, so that was going to be their money for up at Milan Park, mm-hmm. not for Scott's Run, mm-hmm. but see, we got that and we got that project going, and then we went to, you see, when you go, well, that's what I say about those folks knowing how to get the money, mm-hmm. and a lot of times it's engineers that are the fat cats, you know, they know as a chairperson. See, they have you come to their, they have a big get-together up at Snowshoe, you know. I mean, they have the big party up there, you know, and they invite all the, the folks that are somebody at those public service districts. That's who they invite. So I went up, this lady, it was about, five or six people on this table with this lady, the money lady. Mm-hmm. And then the dude from Thrasher, and I was sitting over there with, you know, with one of the tables, and he said, I want you to meet somebody, you know. And so Ken Moran, he's a big shot for America. So he went over to the table, and he had everybody kind of move away from the table, and, you know, just me and that lady, you know, there. And then we talked, and, you know, and we got and told her what we're doing down here and all, you know. Next thing you know, see, we got that other $8.3 million for the – but that wasn't a grant. That was, you know, that's a loan, a thing you have to do there. So we got $10 million project. And then we did another $6 million project after that. Because, see, once you get the first money, see, you're going to get, you know, the other money as well. So so once you get going on your project, and then after we get that and all, then these guys that were just nasty to us about doing that, I mean, they would have the meeting. They'd come down. They would come down to jail. They would be boisterous about, you know, the meetings and all, you know. So we went all through there. And we got to about the 13th year. You see, one of the big things was MUB was getting all the money. See, MUB was utility board. See. See, they was getting the money. See, now, and so we would, but they would do, like, our, we had like 13 pumps, and they were supposed to check those 13 pumps 3 times a week. But now somebody called me on Saturday, and one pump, like I say, if I want to heal, and that pump is pumping only to maybe a couple houses that you didn't have like the regular flow through. Then, but if that pump wasn't working on it, if he called me on Saturday, that means you wasn't up there on Friday. Mm-hmm. So many of those things would happen. People call me and they got a backup in their in their basement or something like that. So their contract ended June the 12th. Well, they called me over there like on a Friday. Like they called me on Friday to come over and meet with them because, see, they thought they were going to renew that contract. But I didn't even understand that part of it. I went over there about them not doing their job. And they had about 15 guys over there, you know. They're all sweating, you know, guys making $8, $10, $12 an hour. And this guy's sitting next to me making $250,000 a year, you know. So to Jim Green there at the time. So, you know, and as soon as I get there, you know, it's like, well, we don't want you to think we're ganging up on you. Well, by the end of that day, there's only one gang that left there. And it surely wasn't me and those 15 guys. And so as we talked, you know, we talked and he talked to and the county commissioner was over there too. Say, yeah, I don't know what he was even doing there. But at the end of it, see, we were buying their reading for how you, the reading for the water reading, mm-hmm. which was $2, it came to $6.27. And I said, Jim, see, he ain't very happy now, you see. Mm-hmm. Jim, I said, we can't figure out how $2 come to $6.27. And now he's like, well, Al, I'm going to explain it to you one more time. I said, Jim, you're not going to explain it one more time. And he looked over to Asel. He said, Asel, you know what's going to happen when they take over? Yeah. When we took over, we already had a lady was showing our lady how to do all the billing, you see. So we started doing our own billing and everything. Well, we went from nothing. That building, you come down, that green building, we built that brand new building. Plus, we rebuilt where the museum is. We was there for about 4 years. We rebuilt that place. It was a garage. And my apartment was the first place we had a meeting place. Well, we get up to probably about $20 to $25 million, you know, of assets and, mm-hmm. and stuff, you see. Wow. See, that was way too much.
Yeah, they're jealous.
Yeah. So now they got to duff us, you see.
Uh-huh.
So they found a way to get us off the board, put those two guys on the board, and the two guys they put on the board couldn't even be on the board. Mm-hmm. They didn't live here. Mm-hmm. They used to live here. They didn't live here.
Yeah.
They put them on the board, and needless to say, after that, you know, and that's what I sent that thing over them about, you know, how they did what they did and how you wanted to trash my name, and which is hard to do around here because all the project I've been involved in, all of, you know, see, you know, they don't look down on Al. It's like, like this right here. Now, see, he had to take his time to come from Granville down here to bring me these papers, you
right.
see. But they make sure they drop a copy down here, you know, let me know, you know, what they're doing and probably feeling what Al may not say, you know, because I was really, you know, I talked really heavy on it the
mm-hmm.
last time. But I'm not going to say anything over there, but they think I will.
Yeah.
But I won't.
Yeah.
But you do things, it's a good thing to do. And it's probably a good chance if they knew that they were going to close that place down. See, I'd probably have one of those county commission seats.
Mm-hmm.
And even this last time that Tom Bloom ran with the Western in, I would have beat him that time too. But I just didn't have the thought or the feel to do it.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody going to, you know, I don't care what office, even if I run for the House of Delegates or whatever, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to get a seat.
So you find people still sort of look down on Scott's run?
Yeah. People, well, you can tell here where you would think that people would be, you know, thoughtful to think that, boy, well, what about Osage? Osage fed all of us. You know, Granville didn't have no money or Westover or Star City, Morgantown. If it wasn't for the mines here, you know, all the money went, well, you see what's happening here. You know, and I think it started when all the homes was on those hills. I'm thinking at least 400 homes on those hills. You know, from that hill over there to the middle hill to this hill. it was homes on all, especially on that hill over there. The hill where Mary Jane and them grew up, there was rows of homes over there. And on our hill there, you know, we probably had maybe 50, 60 over there, and same over here. But on that hill there, it had to be a couple hundred homes. And they all ended up Chaplin, which you could walk right through the little Chaplin. It was only 2 minutes away. So Chaplin was just like, you know, but still that stigma that you can do anything, you know, to even like closing the town. You know, you got the Golden Seal magazine down there, mm-hmm. and the whole story, you know, is about how they did not close it, see? And if it wasn't for this place being closed, then Granville actually wouldn't be, you know, you had to close this incorporated town down, and it never was closed. But still, you know, Granville gets the mall up there, and Osage gets the shaft. And now Westover's coming around there, annexing all up there where Chaplin area is and all. All that territory, you know, would have been Osage, you know? So this is what we, and then, you see, I was gone for 20 years. You know, and a lot of times, I look at it too, you know, it wasn't so much that the town couldn't have thrived, but I think you had too many people who were very selfish, even some of the mayors that you had in the towns here, you know, and the people, you know, trash kind of themselves. You know, it could have been like the greatest, one of the greatest towns, because a lot of success came through, you know, like you know, the first black mayor in the state of West Virginia, and many of those kind of things that you know, there was a lot of respect in how all those kind of those things happened, but still the stigma never left, you know, never left. Even today, when I tell people when I go someplace, you know, and everybody was talking about how bad Osage is, I said, well, you know, they're dying in Morgantown and Westover and Star City and and they're dying in all those places, but ain't nobody dying in Osage, you know? Yeah. The safest place you can be, you're behind, is in Osage, you know? Ain't nobody dying in Osage, yeah. You know? But still, the stigma is never left here. If you go to Osage, you're going to die.
Is that from partially the Eleanor Roosevelt's attention or WPA, or what is that? Where do you think that whole started?
Well, I think during the days of like here, like right now, you know, with that train came down through here all day long, buses every 15 minutes, horses and buggies and people and a few cars. And then one time, and I think it was, believe it or not, they had that in the town of Osage, you know, you drove on a sidewalk and walked in the street because it was so congested. You had to walk wherever, you know. And I would think sometime about cars, like, because you see, if you're playing a football game, you come from Pittsburgh, you had to come to Osage. See, there wasn't no Star City Bridge up until like the 50s. So if you're coming, and I think the stigma started there, you know, that you see all these people, you know, and then, and for a large black population as well, but a lot of times people thought it was mostly all black people in Osage, you know, but it was quite the contrary to that. There was every mixture of person was in Osage, but you see a lot of black folks, you know, like it's like a black town, you know. So I was thinking about when people would come from Pittsburgh, come to the ball game, you know, they go to AAA, you know, and AAA's map would show them that they on this map they have a big red dot. Now see, when you get to that red dot, you know, you lock up your doors, you know, lock your doors, roll up your windows, you know, and go slow through the town of Osage. Mm-hmm. And probably hit somebody, don't even stop, just keep going until, you know, you. But the bottom line is, see, that's where
they were mostly white people too coming through.
Yeah. When people come to the ball game, you know, in those days, yeah, you mostly white people. Yeah. You didn't see very many, because even in those days, you didn't even have a black team over here until like probably the early '60s. Yeah, you know, '60s when you first got, because I was the first black guy that was gonna play football up here, and. And I was, you know, really kind of respected kind of person, you know, that they wanted me like the sponsor, The one I went to D.C. before uh-huh. football started.
Okay.
I went to I went to California, 1962.
When did you graduate from high school?
Well, my graduating year was 1955.
Okay.
But I went to the steel mill in 1953. See, I was 15 years old. And they would take anybody. They didn't ask your age or nothing, but people would come through here like a bus ticket, you know. And me and two other buddies, we went. As a matter of fact, it was kind of a funny thing that how we went. You know, we were leaving on that Sunday night. The next day was school. It was like doing school break, the Christmas break. School was starting the next day. Well, we didn't want our dads to know, so we had these grocery bags, and we went to the Warner Theater about 1 o'clock. We stayed there all day long. That bus was leaving at 10 o'clock at night. We didn't want nobody to see us, you know. So we get we go down to the Greyhound station, you know, at 10 o'clock. Now we know, and we ain't nobody gonna see us now. We had one teacher that was from Cleveland that taught at our black school over there at Montague High. So we're getting on the bus. She's getting off the bus, and we're getting on. You know?
You were headed to Pittsburgh?
We were headed to Lorain, Ohio, to the steel mill. Uh-huh. And she was getting off the bus from Ohio, from Cleveland. So and she gets off the bus. She said, "Where are you boys going?" And I'm the spokesperson. We're going to visit our grandmother. I said, I bet she had the folks cracking up the next day. You know, knucklehead boys, you know, they're supposed to be in school tomorrow. Here they're going to the steel mill to work. And I worked for the school started next year.
Wow.
And then I went to school for one more year. And I went to service in 1954.
So
I went to the Army for 2 years. And I wasn't old. I was 17, you know, so I put my age up to go for 2 years, you know, put my age up to be 18. Actually, I put it up even longer. They chewed me out at the selective service. Why? Because I'm close to 19, but I'm still only 17,
right.
You know, and they're telling me, where you been, you know? So, and they said, they didn't check nothing either, you know? So no one checked anything until I got out of the service when the guy came here at the veterans place over there, and he was signing me up to go to, you know, if I had any problem, go to the veterans hospital. And they were trying to figure, you know, he kept looking at me and looking at me, and they couldn't figure out because I put my age up, you know. And then finally,